Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, yeah, that's woo! Come on. Wednesday morning, Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. What a morning. And those sons of bitches kept me up all night after that win last night. Got the Rally Roach in the house, certainly. I'm usually the first to kiss it, so I don't want to, like, mess up the rotation, but... we do need to go back and calculate our record since the Roach invaded our studio here on Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you guys. Let's get our heads right. It's going to be harder to get your head any more right than it's been gotten for you after last night. It was insane. Another come-from-behind victory for our San Diego Padres, man. Just an incredible evening. And again, one of those games where I couldn't sleep after. I was so charged up emotionally that I just could not fall asleep. I was just hyped. We'll talk all about it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of this program. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Oh, that was a nice one last night. Not one comeback, two comebacks.
Two! God!
You feel like you get the first comeback, and then now you've got to do another one that's asking a lot.
I believe the Rally Roach is 18-5.
Good God.
My calculations are correct.
That is no joke, man. That is a real deal winning streak right there. Since that creep busted in here and scared the dickens out of all of us that morning, 18-5. And I showed, were you here when I showed you when I opened my wallet? I'll hide my address. But my kids put a roach. And so I now...
Practical joke roach.
So I now carry this roach around with me everywhere I go. And when I went to like CVS the other day to get a prescription, I, you know, opened my wallet. I was like, it gets me a little bit every time because he's just chilling in there. And 18-5 is staggering. That's like a bit. That is like a... Like that's a good sample size for a bit. 18-5. This team... They are literal cockroaches. I mean, they just don't go away. You can stomp them. You can put all sorts of little roach hotels in. They win. They find a way to win, and they did it twice last night, and it was fantastic. Just a fantastic night. So I'm, like, so fired up today. I could barely get my thoughts organized. Also, when you sleep 3 hours, it's hard to get your thoughts organized.
That's because you couldn't get to sleep after the win. And then you have to get up very early for work.
Yeah, and turn your light on over there. You look a little corpse-ish. There you go. Much better. Yeah, get your...
I came in a little late today.
Yeah, everyone was staggering a little bit behind today. It's fine. Like I said, I mean, I woke up and I was like, I don't want to get out of bed today, but I'm excited to go talk about this dub. I should let everybody know. I just wanted to wish a happy National Senior Citizens Day to all of our senior citizens out there.
What's the official designation for senior citizen now?
Hello on Facebook.
55? Is it 60? What do we officially get to be a senior citizen at?
I don't know, bro. I feel like we're close, though.
I mean, they start sending you like AARP stuff. Like before 50 now, they're like...
There's nothing that makes me laugh harder than that song, dude.
You know, I...
Get it again. Run it back from the beginning. It's my favorite.
The beginning?
Yeah, right here. I think once you start moving and grooving to that song, you're officially a senior citizen.
This is really funny yesterday because, so yesterday I posted on Instagram, it was National Radio Day.
Yeah, I love National Radio Day.
Posted little pictures of National Radio Day or whatever. And our buddy Jack Taylor. Jacksaw.
Oh, Jacksaw, yeah. Jack Taylor.
He DM'd me and he goes, there's a three of us in the studio. And he goes, which one are you again? Are you the one that pees his pants? And I just wrote back, Jack, I work with the elderly. Help me.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
I missed my exit this morning on the way to work. This is a very senior moment of me.
So Benny is... Benny, Benny is, by the way, 5:32 on the dot. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later.
Have you ever gotten here earlier and just sat in your car until 5:32?
Yes. You know he has. Yes.
100%.
So he... It's 5:38, and I go, oh, he's on drugs. He has started some sort of drug habit that we are unaware of, and he's on drugs. Because Ben Higgins would never walk in 6 minutes late, which is really, you know, 20 minutes early. But for you, it's so on time, 5:32. I know I can count on it. When it was 5:38, I was like, I have to text his mom. And may I have to find out if everything is okay. I'm going to start calling Highway Patrol. Did you see a guy on the side of the road, perhaps, with a flat tire? He has no idea how to change it. Can you please help him ASAP? So I did get a little worried. I will ask from now on, if you're going to be later than 5:32, a courtesy text would
be, thinking that you guys were going to start worrying, but I knew I was going to be there by 5:38. And that seemed like 6 minutes was not enough to actually send a text.
I'm going to give you a five-minute grace period. But if it's past 37, I'm going to need...
I counted on my autopilot. I really was just thinking about the game. I was listening and thinking about the game last night, and I was going... Just kind of getting into it, excited, and all of a sudden I look up and I go,
oh no,
another mile and a half past my exit to another exit, then turn around back another mile and a half back, get off, two extra signals. It was very frustrating, very senior moment of me.
Well, and there people are already in the chat. You know, what if you feel like a senior citizen? Paulie's right. I mean, he does. He works with two senior citizens, pretty much. Because I'll be 50 next year. You'll be 49 coming up in a couple months. And they said you start getting AARP at 50+. So do you know how fast I'm going to intercept that mail and throw it out of my house so that my young wife doesn't see it? If she starts getting AARP mail for me, I'm never having sex again. Never. It's never going to happen. So
I'll move you into one of those senior living communities right away.
Just put him in the back room, please. Make him as comfortable as you can. But holy cow, dude. It got me thinking, though. Like, remember when you were young, everything recovered. Like, you just recovered from everything. You could...
Within minutes.
Yeah, and if not minutes, like a day. Like, Paul, your ankle, when you were 21, you're back on the court.
Two days later,
right? Like, the healing... When I would go to the dentist and they would, you know, clean my teeth and rip everything apart, it would be... You know, I was good by the end of the day. I had to go back in yesterday to see my beloved Dr. Skeens. So they put the temporary crown on last week, you guys remember, and it felt like somebody hit me in the face with a hammer. Yesterday, they had to numb it up. They had to take the temporary off and put the permanent crown on. Did a great job, but hurts. It hurts. And by the time you get home, by the time I got home, I had numb mouth. One side of my mouth was... So I get home. Hi, Dada. How was school today? First day of class, how did it go? It was good. Are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay now. It's probably going to start hurting later. So I would drink water, and it would like dribble out of my mouth. And I go, this sucks. And, bro, he put so much Novocaine in, I couldn't even eat dinner. I had to eat dinner at like 8:45.
Well, you told us last time he didn't put enough, and it was hurting.
And so he
decided to put more in this time just right off the bat.
Bro, he lubed it up. And so I got home, and I was laying in bed. The pain started to come, but the numb mouth never went away. And I thought to myself, out of all of life's like minor physical inconveniences, is mouth maybe the worst? I started doing a would you rather in my own head, and I did would you rather have diarrhea or numb mouth for 4 hours? And I choose diarrhea. I choose it.
Hmm.
If I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm home.
Yeah, if you don't have easy access to a good bathroom.
Yeah. You take the diarrhea.
I think I'd rather have the numb mouth.
Oh, you would?
If I didn't have
easy
access.
If you did it, but no, you're at home and you're, you know, watching the game. I couldn't snack. I couldn't really drink anything. It was a lot of pain, but then the mouth would look like this. I actually was getting into it with my kids because they were being turds, and I'm like, "You guys have no respect, for anything in this house." And it doesn't hold the same weight. Go to your room. If you're not going to eat your dinner, then you're not going to eat your dinner. Nothing later. So I'm like, this sucks, dude. I would rather have diarrhea than numb mouth. How about you?
I don't like numb mouth.
It sucks, Paulie. It's like one of the worst. It's a trap! Yeah, that's what I felt like, dude.
I think a burnt tongue is worse.
Oh, that is a bad one.
Because that, you know, with a burnt tongue, it's not going away anytime soon.
No.
You do feel like numb mouth will disappear at some point.
I burned my mouth last Wednesday on my first day of staycation.
On what?
Pizza.
Oh, that'll get you. That cheese slides off.
Just burns. It's just too fast.
Bro, I'm telling you, I can't stand it. I could not stand it yesterday. I would. That's how bad it is. I
had that bloody nose last year. That was awful.
Remember that?
It didn't hurt so much, but it just wouldn't stop.
It would not.
It
would not stop. Holy cow, man. Timmy says he saw me on the highway with my blinker on for 4 miles. Yeah, that sounds about right, man. That sounds like me. Yeah, like I said, I barely slept last night. I had numb mouth. I had massive pain in the side of my face. But I'm here this morning. Padres really picked me up. Really picked me up with that dub last night. One of the, how many times have we said, well, that's just one of the best games of the year. This is, again, one of the best games of the year last night.
The list is almost impossible to compile. Like a top 10 list of best Padres wins, you're going to leave 5 or 6 really good wins out of that list at this point. It's a tough one to go back and go through some of the best games. I mean, so many good ones that just pop right to mind. And add last night to the ever-growing list, because that really was a terrific game. I said the game before, which was kind of a pretty normal game, felt kind of like a playoff-type competition between the Padres and Twins. Last night, if the first game was a playoff game, last night was one of those classics that would be running for years and years if it was a postseason game.
Yeah,
just that terrific. Great, you know, they had a great pitcher on the other side.
Very good.
Two comebacks, back and forth. I'm looking forward to talking about this one coming up on the show today.
Me too.
All right, so why don't we just get into it?
That's what I was hoping for.
All right, we will come back. We will set the menu. I can't wait for Sammy Levitz.
Yeah, buddy.
Second straight game of winning highlights. This one with his first home run calls as the play-by-play voice of the Padres. Jesse's Incorporator, all of that. And a little surprise, we got some early Padres tickets to give away for the early risers out there. In our next segment, we're going to be giving away Padres Mets tickets to Saturday's game. Huge series coming up this weekend, and you'll have a chance to win some Padres tickets early in the show. So stay tuned. More Ben and Woods coming up right after a check of traffic with Kelly Danick on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's a Big League Wednesday. Welcome back. Ben and Woods, the 97.3 The Fan. Good show coming up today. Looking forward to it. Before we get to the menu, did have an item of news before the game yesterday when the Padres placed Ha-Sung Kim on the injured list, and you shouldn't have been shocked if you listened to us talking about it yesterday. This was always a possibility. Sounds simply like they weren't sure if he could be back in, you know, 5 days or 7 days, and they decided, well, let's just make the move retroactively to Monday and give him the full 10 days, and hopefully at the end of those 10, he'll be rested and ready to go, and the shoulder will feel good enough that he can insert himself right back into the starting lineup. But that means for the next week and a half, Padres will be without their starting shortstop. And while Tyler Wade has gotten the start the first couple of games, Mike Schilt remains very
coy
about whether that's going to continue. He did have to bump Xander Bogaerts over to short for the ninth inning after they had pinch hit for Tyler Wade late in that game yesterday. Is that a sign of things to come? He said afterwards, "We really don't want to move Xander over. We like him at second base where he's been, but I had a conversation with him, and he said he'd be willing to do it, especially if the Padres had a lead late, so it came to play yesterday." I still get the sense we may see Jake Cronenworth there at least a few times over the next few days.
Excuse me. Why do you get that sense? Is it just a feeling? Because I'll be honest with you, I also get it. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, they've slid him over to second, you know, a bunch this year to make room for Luis Arraez or Donovan Solano or whatever. Why do you get the sense it's Crony? He has not played there in forever.
I still think it's Xander.
Crony has not. When's the last game Crony played at short? I saw somebody tweet it last night, but I can't remember. It's been a while.
I can find out.
He played, the last time he played a lot at short, I think, was either 2020 or 2021. It's been a while.
When's the last time he played
actual went over to short? I'm not sure.
Like an inning, a half inning?
Not sure about the answer to that one.
I think it's still been a while.
I think the real question...
He hasn't appeared in a game at short since 22.
Okay, so that's 2 years ago.
Nine games
in 22.
In
2 years.
In some capacity.
Okay.
2021, he played 41 games at short.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's a guy, and again, I'm not crapping on you, because I actually had the same thought. I wonder if it's going to be, because of all the, I don't want to say drama, but because of all the consternation about Xander moving off short, and like, you go through that, you plow ahead, everyone joins forces, you all start pulling on the same rope, Xander's done a good job at second, now... You know what I mean? I mean, I totally get it.
The reason I say it is that I've heard Mike Schilt say they seem reluctant to move Xander back after all the work they've done to move him over to second base.
That's it.
Even though he did play there in the ninth inning. And I just also can't see Tyler Wade just starting every single game at short.
I hope not.
While Ha-Sung Kim is out. He's got like a 540 OPS. He's not an everyday player. He's a late inning replacement. He's a, you know, a defensive sub. He's a pinch running sub. So that leaves, you know, Manny moving over, Jackson Merrill moving in from center, and I don't necessarily see either of those things. I know Manny could handle it, but Jake just seems he's already the one who moves positions most often of those guys, so he seems most likely. Now, the real question is, what happens when they face a left-handed starter and they want to get a right-hander in there? Donovan Solano, you get him into the lineup, but I don't see
he's no shortstop.
Donovan Solano at this stage of his career moving in at shortstop. He's played there before, but I don't necessarily see that. So
Matt Batten, if I recall, was corners really mostly when he was up. He filled in for Manny.
Now you put him at third and Manny at short, but...
Manny is Manny. Not that he couldn't do it. Not that any of these couldn't do it. And again, hopefully... you're right. We're not talking about just one inning here. We're not talking about a late inning defensive replacement, adult ball style, like, who wants short? Go get it. We need three outs. You know what I mean? You got guys that are capable of doing it. But, I kind of assumed it would be Matthew Batten yesterday. Shortstop goes down. You call up a guy. But again, Paulie, pull up his game logs of where Matthew Batten's played. If my memory serves, he was playing first and he was playing third. Mostly for the San Diego Padres. So to call up another corner infielder when you need a shortstop doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They have a plan.
I was surprised that it was maybe Batten that even got the call and not Eggy Rosario, who they've been...
See, he's also a corner. He's also a corner guy.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, again...
But offensively, I felt like he may bring more to the table than Matt Batten.
Yeah.
If you're going to add someone to the roster.
Batten's appeared in two games total at short.
Ever. Yeah, all right. That call up is as head scratching, I think, as I thought it was when it originally happened. I originally leaned Eggy too, but again, if you have to fill innings at shortstop, and your 540 OPS is Tyler Wade, who's not particularly a great shortstop either.
I'm sorry. This whole conversation is ridiculous to me and funny in that we've kind of joked about the whole lineup is full of shortstops, and one guy goes down, and we're like, who the hell plays short?
Well, it's funny, too, because it's like, Paulie, if Ben and I came to you January 1st and said, look, this is a hard conversation. You're here. You're part of the team. We're turning your mics off. No Rindle report. You're not on camera. And you're like, dude, I want to do this. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'll commit to it. Yeah, it sucks, bro, but this is what we have to do. And then 2 months later, well, Paulie, why don't you come on back for a while? And then 2 months later, why don't you go back the other way? There's something about, and especially...
Yeah, it'd be stupid.
It'd be stupid, but especially at that level of like, we've gotten through this. We've done this. This was that hurdle that we needed to climb. It makes sense. If it were me.
You don't want to muddy the waters.
You don't want to muddy the waters.
We talked about it yesterday. We talk about it all the time. You know, Mike Schilt has to manage egos. I'm like, how about managing the ego of the guy that you just signed to an 11-year contract as a shortstop?
But you already massaged that ego down to get him to move to second, and now you're going to be like, hey, bud, I was just kidding. You are our shortstop. You know, it's just not that Xander is a pain in the ass, not that he wouldn't do it, not that he probably wouldn't be a little happy to do it. But again, no one likes to be jerked around. You know, everyone wants to know what their role is, you know? And then for, like, if Ben and I came back to you and we're like, just for this week only, we need 5 Rindle reports, and we need you on camera, and we need you really locked in.
It'd be more like if you replaced me but still had me in the building. And then that guy that you replaced me with was out for 2 weeks.
And then we brought you back
in. And you're
in.
Like, who the hell do we have that can play producer?
Paulie, I just called Paulie. The guy we already booted.
Like, hello?
Yeah, yeah. Paulie's out answering phones. He's back
I think Xander's kind of pissed off already.
Well,
one way or the other.
Here's the thing. I think he was. I don't think he is anymore. But now you run that risk. And this is just, I mean, we're just spitballing. We have no idea. But you can see why they're not just like, oh, no problem. Slide him over.
You don't want to start the clock again on.
Yeah. Am I your shortstop? Or
Xander's
am I not
emotional
shortstop?
Stability is short.
But I will say this about this team, you know, and Xander Bogaerts is no different. You have a lot of guys on this team that have made sacrifices, a lot. And a lot of guys have played really good team baseball. You would hate for that to stop, you know, just because somebody gets injured. You really would. And if the conversation with Xander is a tough one about, yeah, man, you made me need to move over there for 9 days and then move you back to second. Are you cool with that? And Xander goes, yeah, I'm cool with that. I want to win a World Series, which, by the way, seems to be the very pervasive attitude on this team. I'm not in that clubhouse. I have no idea. You could see how it would go wrong, but I do think that's probably the best move by far, is to put Xander Bogaerts back at short.
By the way, don't expect any announcement from the Padres. Mike Schilt has made it pretty clear that you'll find out who the shortstop is on a day-to-day basis when the lineup comes
out. We'll put the lineup out, you'll see it.
You'll see who's at short. And it's not, nothing is a definitive statement. They're simply going to be a shortstop every day.
Yeah, and we'll post the lineup every day. But yeah, Wade'll get a great opportunity. You know, we got righties ready tomorrow, so you know, pretty good opportunity for me.
Probably going to be Wade again today, apparently. But again, I can't see that 10 straight days.
I can't either.
Of Tyler with no days off, 10 straight days of Tyler Wade. That's your best option in a pennant race, right? In a playoff chase. He's playing him every single day against righties while Ha-Sung Kim is gone. I don't know. All right, here's the menu for the program today. We'll get right into it with our Padres wrap-up, all the highlights.
Xander quotes in Kevin Acey's newsletter we'll get to next.
And calls of the win yesterday come from behind, 7-5 win over the Minnesota Twins. We'll play some take on Woods at 7:10. Big League Wednesday, Adam Jones will check in at 7:35. Brett Boone at 8:35. We'll pay off the Incorporator, a televised version of Song Lyric Incorporator with Jesse Agler. And boy, did it come in a big moment on the game yesterday. That was a fun one.
Was that Incorporator history?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was.
It felt like it.
Maybe. Right before Manny's home run, if you were watching on television and you caught it, fantastic job by Jesse Agler. Rindle Report in our 9 o'clock hour, and then Padres going for the sweep of the Minnesota Twins. They've already clinched their ninth series win out of their last 10. Go for three in a row. We'll talk about today's series finale matchup. That's all coming up right now, though. Your chance to win Padres tickets. Fifth caller, 833-288-0973. An early giveaway for Saturday's game against the New York Mets. Padres making the push for the postseason. Grab your tickets at Padres.com/tickets. And again, you can win them right now. Fifth caller at 833-288-0973. Paulie will take your call during the break. Good luck. We'll be back with our Padres wrap-up with Sam Levitt on the call on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Tyler Wade, man, get ready to learn shortstop, buddy. Looks like that's his gig.
I think we can cross Xander Bogaerts off the list as an everyday shortstop, except in the case of dire emergency based on the quotes that we just saw this morning.
Man, this is pretty good stuff. Kevin Acey, great job here, man, getting this after the game last night. So, Ha-Seong Kim, as you know, on the injured list, and Xander Bogaerts. I tweeted last night, who takes the ninth? You know, because you pinch hit for Tyler Wade, which was a brilliant, brilliant move. Donovan Solano, another two-strike hit. We'll get into all the game details in a minute. There are a lot of heroes to discuss from last night. Xander says, we talked about the situations, possibilities, me going there, what the scenarios may have to be. Tonight was one of those. Then he says this. He says, I made a big choice in spring training. I think everyone should respect that. I mean, I did it for the team. I moved, and it would be asking a lot for me to just keep playing back and forth. I do know every game matters. Every game's important. But, man, I mean, early in the season, I wasn't even feeling right playing at second. Every day I had something different in my hips, and I finally feel good. It's easy for people like Ben to say, hey, just move.
I didn't say flip-flop. I think Xander's right. I don't think he should move.
But it is a little harder to another one this year, and you start feeling really good there. I get it 1,000%. And somebody made a really good point in the chat that said, Xander seems like the type of guy that really needs consistency. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you're right. And that's the deal, man, is that 26 guys on the roster, 26 different personalities, 26 different egos, 26 different ways of preparation. Mike Schilt, AJ Preller, they have to manage all of that, right? Donovan, I noticed you didn't put in as much pregame work as you did yesterday. Or, hey, you may be putting too much work in. Like, I can't even imagine what it's like on a day-to-day. So for Xander, after submitting, which is what he did, against what he wanted to do, and saying, all right, fine, I'm going to take it, I'm going to embrace it as best I can, I can certainly respect him saying, don't flip-flop me, man, just leave me there. Even though I think on paper, if we're all managing on MLB The Show, Ha-Seong Kim goes down, you slide him right over. Now, if it was MLB The Show, I'm either calling up DeRees or I'm putting Manny Machado over at short. We'll see. We'll let the chips fall where they may. But
this is one of those rare situations where kind of everybody's right.
1,000%. Like, there's no one wrong. There's no villain here.
Like,
None whatsoever.
I can see where Schilt's coming from. I can see where Xander's coming from. I can see where fan base is coming from. I can see where you're coming. You know what I mean? Like, I can see all sides of this and go, no one's really wrong.
Nobody's
in
wrong.
This situation.
Nope. And please don't take this as an opportunity to crap on Xander Bogaerts. I mean, again, there are different players have different personalities. I think a guy like Crony, if Schilt went and said, hey, I may need you for the next 10 days at short. I mean, we know Jake pretty well. He'd go, all right. I remember, I'll never forget, I was just telling you guys, reminding you of this, when we sat down with him in spring training a couple of years ago, and they had added some really big pieces.
Which is 22.
22. And if you were like the three-hole hitter or the two-hole hitter, and you're like, I'm not going to be hitting two or three for a while. And so I asked him, I said, all right, I mean, not to be a jerk, but they're probably going to move you down the lineup. How's that make you feel? And he's like, you think I care? He's like, I'm in a big league lineup, man. As long as I'm out there every day, I don't care where I'm playing. I don't care where I'm hitting. I just want to win.
It was before, I think it was after the 22 season, right before 23, when Soto was on the lineup now. And I think it was off the air we were talking with him, like before or after the interview. And he goes, look at this lineup. I don't care.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
In some ways, though, that's the easy thing to say. It's very easy. You know, you get points when you say, yeah, play me anywhere, hit me anywhere. I'm there for you, Skip, whatever you need. But the hard thing sometimes is to recognize about yourself, what are the conditions that I will thrive the best in? And am I doing more for the team if I am comfortable where I am and producing where I am?
That's right.
And knowing if I can say I'll go to short, but I also know I'm going to be feeling out of sorts. Again. It's probably going to affect my offense.
Again.
If I do this, should I just be honest with everybody and say, I'm better off, man, if I just stay in my position where I am.
It's, that's a veteran perspective to have.
I agree. So, well, that's where we are right now, and I'm expecting Tyler Wade this afternoon at shortstop for the time being for the San Diego Padres.
Yes, sir.
I know we're going to be talking about the shortstop position for a while now with Kim on the IL. I'm excited to get back to that game, though. Last night was unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
Quickly, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Macy's. Back to school at Macy's is all about fresh starts and new looks. Save on must-haves like cargos, mini dresses, jeans, and more that'll hold up from the first day of school to the last. Plus, you'll find all the top quality brands you love. Shop Macy's. Make the first day back the best one yet. Check out Macy's.com. Back to school today. Our Padres wrap-up coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Swinging a ground ball towards the middle, base hit. Merrill around third base being waved home by Tim Lieber. He'll score standing. David Peralta, an RBI single. And the Padres have a 1-0 lead in the second.
First pitch swinging, driven to left field and deep. Erickson Profar is looking up, but this one is going to be gone. A 2-run home run for Jeffers on a first pitch cutter. And all of a sudden, the Twins have a 2-1 lead. 1-2 pitch swung on fly ball to left field. Profar over towards his left. He'll get it. Runner third is going to tag up and score. Nobody is covering third base. The ball gets over towards the backstop. Now the runner's going to try to score. The throw home, they've got him tied up. Campusano's got the ball. Martin is just slowly making his way towards Manny. Finally, they throw it to Manny, who tags out Martin for the first out of the inning. Kepler scored on the sack fly. Margot is now standing at second base on a sloppy play by the Padres as Jurickson Profar knew that he wasn't going to be able to get the runner out at home. So he threw to third to make sure that the runner at second didn't try to advance. Unfortunately, there was nobody at third base.
Well, nobody covering third. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep left center. This one way back and gone. Manny Machado, a 2-run homer. And just like that, this game is tied at 3. Swinging a line drive into left. That's a base hit. Profar moves to it towards the line. One run comes in. Two runs will score. Throw goes to third. Now a throw to second. The throw to third. They get the out at third. It took Bill Miller a long time to make the call at third base. Out at third. Vasquez up to second. It'll be a 2-RBI base hit for Christian Vasquez in the pinch. And the most important part of all that, the Twins take a 5-3 lead here in the eighth inning. Swing and a drive into left. This one's way back, and it is gone! Jurickson Profar strikes again! A go-ahead 3-run home run in the eighth inning. It's 6-5 San Diego. Pitch to Bogarts. A liner into right center. This is sinking. It's down. A base hit. Rolling all the way to the fence. Cronenworth racing around third. He'll score easily. X-Man. Xander Bogarts. RBI double. And the Padres get insurance. It's now 7-5 in the eighth inning. 1-2. Swing and a miss. Padres win. Robert Suarez, a 1-2-3 ninth inning. It was Jurickson Profar, the go-ahead home run in the eighth. Padres got one more. And Robert Suarez continues to put together an excellent 2024 campaign. He shuts the door in the ninth inning, save number 29. Our final score, Padres 7 and the Twins 5.
Grit squad. You know, we talk about it. You know, it's a trait that very special. There was not a doubt in the group. Hard-fought back-and-forth game. A lot of big swings, but, man, just some really tough at-bats that
A lot of mental relief that we kept it there, too, that allowed us to get that chance that, you know, was big as well. Hoeing doing his part, Yuki doing his part. And then the guys did a really nice job of taking some really, really quality at bats at the end of the game.
Make it 2-0 for Sammy Leavitt on the 97.3 The Fan microphone as the Padres win that one 7-5. Sammy with some great calls there.
Great calls, man.
Including his first MLB home run call with the Manny Machado game-tying two-run shot in the seventh inning.
Now, I know he gave us the team player corporate speak yesterday when we asked him, how bad is it going to be when you have to go back to just doing regular old, oh, no, I'm thankful for the opportunity. Sammy, you don't got to lie to me, all right? I know it's going to suck today, but you can rest assured. I know you're listening because he's a huge tier one. You absolutely crushed it the last two nights. You crushed it, and you got to be a part of two incredible games.
Permanent relief pitcher. Like if anybody goes down,
Sammy's the guy. It would be you'd be crazy not to. He obviously didn't just get through it. The guy thrived and sounded phenomenal, sounded like a 10-year vet. I'm very happy for Sammy. You know, I find a way to keep him in San Diego because somebody's going to hear that and be like, I want that guy on my roster. I don't either. I don't want to think about it either.
And it's I got to imagine, like, the first game, like it's got to be like a drug. And he's like,
yeah.
I need more.
I need more. Today, when he comes in here to do the pre and post, he's going to be like, I was sitting yesterday looking out at my mic, my scorecard. I was ready to go. And now I'm in here in Ben's seat.
Well, he'll be in the loft at the Western Metal Building, but
yeah,
still not the seat behind home plate. But they're still at home.
They're still at home. That sweet angel, man. I'm so happy for him. Crushed it. First home run call, Manny Machado. Game tying home run. Give me a break. You can't draw it up better than that.
So I will be honest. I did not have the most optimism going into yesterday's game. And there was a reason for it.
It was that guy's tweet that spun you out.
No, but I knew Bailey Ober was a really good pitcher, and he was. That changeup was fooling everybody. Padres couldn't get much going other than the Jackson Merrill double, David Peralta RBI single there in the second inning. Couldn't really get anything going against Bailey Ober. Meanwhile, Martin Perez wasn't bad, but he wasn't quite as sharp as the first three starts. And the Twins got to him just a little bit. That the two-run home run by Ryan Jeffers could have been worse, though. The sacrifice fly that made it 3-1, kind of a hidden key play made by Perez himself when that throw got away. And he ran over toward the Twins dugout, picked up the ball, and prevented a fourth run from scoring. I mean, the Twins are probably kicking themselves. A couple of big outs on the base paths in that game, but
terrible.
I mean, Ober goes into the seventh, and you're going, this guy might throw a complete game.
65 pitches or something?
And the proverbial, Mud wasn't there, but always asking for the bloop and the blast when the Padres are down two. And they actually got, I think Ryan Cohen described it, the bloopiest bloop and the blastiest blast.
That's right.
Back to back with Jake Cronenworth and Manny Machado to tie the game. Because Jake, you got a piece of it. You know, Mike Schilt talked about the really good at bat, but I mean, it was a pop out. It just happened to land right between
those,
the left fielder and the third baseman.
You're losing
the shortstop.
Your mind.
Yeah,
losing
your
mind.
You've lost it.
But you know, Ober made the mistake then to Manny Machado. He didn't do anything wrong in letting Jake get on. But he did make a mistake to Manny Machado, one you cannot make right there. He knew it.
This is Manny Machado.
And the game was all of a sudden tied at three. And you're thinking, okay, this is the Padres. They're going to go on. They've got their bullpen locked in. This is setting up very well now that it's tied in the seventh inning. But the Twins are a feisty team as well, and they came back right against Tanner Scott, who's been almost untouchable. They touched him up, hammer him around the yard, but got a nice, some nice swings on decent pitches and put together, the bases loaded.
He got his ground ball to Tyler Wade, whose feet slipped out from under him on the pivot to make the throw. Again, does Ha-Seong Kim make that play? Probably. I'd say probably, but again, this is Tyler Wade. He's not an everyday shortstop. That's fine, man. I mean, the next play, Manny really mistimed his jump and was, you very rarely see him that demonstrative about something he should have done. Usually it's like, if I could have gotten it, I would have.
It was a changeup.
It
looked like a liner,
it
but it
like,
wasn't
it
hit
was
that
like,
hard.
Ah,
it was like,
you saw him
just coming down a little bit. and it just went over his glove.
You saw him scream into the San Diego night that he knew he should have had that one. So Tanner Scott right there, you know, kind of a feeble grounder, and then that one that Manny probably should have had. Well, and then, you know, you give up the hit to Christian Vasquez, which is inexcusable. But Tanner Scott's been amazing. And what do these guys do for him? They go right back out there and they pick him up. Did you
see? Well, first of all, the Profar throw, the Vasquez
was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Two-run single. Another team's two-run single one of your best plays of the game.
Correct.
But one of the best throws you're going to see in baseball all season. On the run,
bro, in the corner,
and toward the line, right on the money to get the runner at third.
Yeah. When I saw it hit the ground, I go, there's no way he gets this on one hop. No way. Like, the ball was hit too well, you know, in too good of a position. He makes that part of it. Just getting that ball on one hop instead of letting it, you know, kind of playing it back, giving up on it a little bit, being able to get behind it and make a better throw. Dude, he picked it, and then the jump throw to third on a, it was a dime. I mean, Manny just turned and boop. And then Manny, the presence of mind to go to second, almost had Vasquez at second. It was spectacular, and in the moment you think, "Ooh, that could be a potentially pretty big out in the later innings." And boy, was it ever brilliant, brilliant night for Jerks and Profar. But did you see after they did the comeback? Tanner Scott, the first guy he walked up to, Jerks and Profar, after Profar hit that home run, to give him a big old hug to say thank you for getting me off the hook.
We got calls. We got more coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.